Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of DeGuard's Podcast. I'm Nathan Rivard, today's host. Today in our studio, we are welcomed by Major Chad Whirl, who is the current company commander of our Officer Candidate School here in North Dakota. How's it going today, sir?
Excellent, thank you.
All right, so a little background on yourself. You actually started your career as an enlisted member back in 1998, and you obtained the rank of Sergeant or E5. And then in 2009, you went to Officer Candidate School yourself and commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Engineer Corps. And your first assignment was a platoon leader in the 815th Engineer Company in Wishick. And pretty much between then and now, you've held a lot of the officer positions of company commander, executive officer, you know, S3 operations, S3 OIC, engineer plans officer, a lot of time in engineer battalions, a lot of time doing staff work, company command. So realistically, and now you're the company commander for Officer Candidate School for the last 2 years. So if you want to fill in the blanks a little bit of that, you know, the career of what are some of those key positions you really liked and, you know, what made you want to ultimately join the military?
Sure thing. Yeah. As you progress as an officer through your career, throughout your career, there's specific positions that you kind of want to aim for, achieve for, depending on what type of path you want to follow with your career. And for myself, I've always kind of looked at an operational mindset and kind of been interested in that type of career progression. So yeah, I've kind of hit those key blocks, the XO positions, the S3 positions, the command positions, all those types of KD, key developmental positions, as I've progressed throughout my career. And now I guess that kind of brings me up to the point where I am in Officer Candidate School. And a little bit about myself, a little bit about my background, and why I joined the military. So back in 1998, at that time, you know, that was my senior year of high school. I was looking at, you know, what I was going to do after high school, and I really didn't have a solid plan of the direction that I was going to head once I graduated from high school. So I enlisted in the military kind of to give me a little bit of direction, a little bit of kind of that guidance of, you know, this will at least give me something to move towards once I graduate. It also, of course, paid for my college, allowed me to go to college, allowed me to get a degree, and really has provided me numerous opportunities throughout my life, and I'm greatly appreciative for, because I wouldn't have been able to get my master's degree. All the way along through there, I've been able to accomplish all of those really due mostly in part to the military.
So you did talk about it. So you got a degree, which is one of the key components too of becoming an officer. That's like one of those first like roadblocks of, do you have a degree, or are you on your, you know, process of getting a degree? But what was your push to actually go through OCS and commission yourself? Was it somebody in your unit told you about it? You were looking at more career opportunity. But what was it that made you want to go through OCS, and what was that experience like for you?
Sure. Yeah. Each person kind of has their own story of, you know, why they went through the program. For myself, so I was deployed in 2003, and a lot of people don't know, but after the deployment, I actually got out of the military for about a year. And during that time, gave me the reflectional time that I needed to understand that I should get back into the military and should go through the officer program. So during the deployment, while I was in Iraq, I had leadership that I did not really appreciate, that I didn't admire, that I didn't look up to, and I felt like they didn't really have the best interest of their soldiers in mind. That situation, I guess what really happened is my wife, we had our first child while I was deployed. And at that time in 2003, there was no means of communication. And I unfortunately didn't have the opportunity to be able to contact my wife just to see, you know, call home, see if she was all right, see how things were going back home. And really, I felt like that through my eyes, it was a downfall of my leadership, my personal leadership, that didn't do what they should have to try to give me those opportunities to be able to just call my wife to see if she was okay. So fortunately, what happened is my battalion commander, that individual, he found out about what was going on. He found out that I wanted to make a phone call home because my wife was due at that time. And it was amazing because he found out, and then the next day I was on a flight back to Kuwait so I could be close to phones, so I could make a phone call every single day back to my wife. So through that situation, it really caused me to reflect a lot on, you know, what can I do to hopefully prevent or assist soldiers, assist people, just help people in the future. So really what that reflection helped lead me to was the fact that if I went and became an officer, you know, that would give me a larger opportunity, a better opportunity for me to help other individuals so that maybe they don't end up in that type of situation or under those circumstances.
Yeah. And I think you've hit it as one of those things where people go to OCS because they want to be that change. I know that's what I've always heard people talk about, is they've dealt with leadership that didn't support them. They're like, all right, I need to fix that. Is that something that you've seen through OCS, so people want to see the change and basically be that change of what they want to have in leadership?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily because they had poor leadership, but they might have had great leadership that inspired them. So they might have seen, you know, other folks operate in a capacity where they're like, yeah, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to become. So that has inspired them to also want to go be that change, go through the officer program to maybe try to emulate or become that type of leader that they had.
And then if you had to basically share a few highlights of your career, really stick out any key assignments or experience you've had that shaped you as a leader to where you are today, do you think you could narrow that down and think of a couple?
Yeah, everybody's experiences kind of lead them or mold them, shape them into the person that they become. For myself, really it was probably that the biggest situation was that situation that I dealt with when I was in Iraq, and just that the fact that I had leadership that I felt didn't necessarily take care of me the way that I should have, that I felt that I should have. So that really helped. I would say that experience, as horrible as it was, really helped shape me into a large part into the leader that I have become. But really, it's all of your assignments throughout the years, because the people that you work with, you can take skills from every person that you work with. Whether it's good skills or bad skills, you can take something away from every single person you work with or every position that you work in. So it's hard for me to narrow down really specifically, but I would say that one situation is probably the one that sticks out the most.
All right, great. And then, so the real meat and potatoes, what we want to talk about today, is Officer Candidate School. So if someone doesn't know what Officer Candidate School is, or OCS as most people call it, what is the program exactly?
So it's a leadership program that's meant to kind of develop you into a well-rounded type of individual that kind of has some academic knowledge as well as some tactical knowledge. So we talk about how we we hone the mind, we also hone the body. So physically we work on that, you know, mentally we work on that piece. So we develop individuals into becoming leaders, future leaders that kind of adapt, that are able to adapt to different experiences, to be able to overcome those different experiences or to be able to adapt to different situations.
You're talking about adapting to situations, but not all OCSs are the same. So there's a couple different types. Like, what are those types of OCS?
Right, yeah, there's a few different paths that individuals can go down when they go through the OCS program. So we have a traditional state program, and that's the one that I work a little more intimately with. And then we also have an accelerated program. So our state program, both programs, start with a pre-phase. So we do a phase zero pre-phase, where we help the individuals to try to kind of adapt into that type of atmosphere, that type of culture. Because phase one is a difficult program that can be very mentally challenging. It's also very exhausting. So during pre-phase, we work with the candidates to try to go through and help them learn key characteristics, key aspects before they go to that phase one. So phase one, phase two, and phase three. Those are the three phases of OCS. When an individual goes through the accelerated program, then they end up going through the entire program 8 weeks, straight through the program. And then the individuals that go through the traditional program, that's gonna be the regular 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. So that program typically goes about 12 months. And then, you, as I mentioned, you have those pre-phases prior to going to each of those programs. The 8-week program, we work with two states. We work with Alabama. We also work with South Dakota. So that 8-week program, they can go for 8 weeks in January, February, March in Alabama, or we have the 8 weeks that we work with South Dakota, where they can go for the months of June and July. The traditional program, so normally the traditional program, we start that with pre-phase in March. So March, April, May is typically the pre-phase drills, and then they'll leave for phase one the beginning of June. So they'll do their two-week, basically like their two-week annual training the beginning of June, and then they come back and they drill with us up at Devil's Lake, up at the RTI. They'll drill with us for the next 8 months, and then they'll go to, and that's considered their phase two, and then they'll go to phase three in March in Alabama, and that would be also like their two-week annual training.
So you pretty much took us right through all the different phases, but what are some of the differences between the phases, right? So you have phase one of your 2 weeks, you have phase two of your drilling, and then you have phase three. But what are some of the differences? Are some more physically and mentally demanding than others, or some more academic? Like, what are the main differences between the phases?
Sure. So I'll start with pre-phase. Pre-phase, when you come up for your pre-phase drills up at the RTI, what we do a lot is we work with you on land nav, because that's a key piece of phase one. So throughout the pre-phase, we'll do a little bit of physical work. We'll do a ruck march or foot march. We'll do an AFT. We'll do a run. And then we work a lot on land nav. We work a lot on marching, just regular marching around, just to get you ready for phase one. Phase one is very physically demanding. The days are very long. And that phase one, how I describe it, how I always describe it to the candidates, is that, you know, you don't want a surgeon that gives up easily as he's working on an individual. Well, when we have individuals that go through phase one, we don't want officers that are going to give up easily. So those individuals, we want to make sure that they can kind of survive or excel or get through, just understand that they can push themselves to get through something that's grueling, that's difficult. So phase one is very grueling. It is very difficult. The days are very long. We usually start about 5 in the morning, and then the days go until about 2200 each day, and that varies a little bit here and there. But phase one focuses a lot on the physical demands and a lot on land nav. And then phase two, when they come back to the state for phase two, or if they stay down in South Dakota or Alabama for phase two, the phase two program is a lot of academics. So they're going to go through and they're going to learn a lot of military history. They're going to learn about just basic like law, justice. They're going to learn just your basic map reading, graphics, graphic symbols, tactics. We'll do a lot of tactics. And then one of the big culminating events for phase two is going to be our field leadership exercise. So you'll go through and you'll learn during phase two, you'll go through and learn all of the tactics to lead up to your troop leading procedures that lead up to your field leadership exercise. So the field leadership exercise at the end of phase two is kind of like your practice to get you ready for phase three. So we'll go out in the field and we'll just go through and allow individuals to practice their troop leading procedures, practice leading troops, and then when they go to phase three, they have the opportunity to kind of go out in the field and to really put that into play. And they'll go out and they'll be tested on all those things. They'll be given more opportunities to practice them, but then they'll also go through and they'll be tested on those as well in phase three. So phase three is, the majority of phase three is kind of out in the field, just running around, executing lanes, executing missions, allowing everybody to just go through and practice their troop leading procedures and then be tested on those.
So in your current role, what was your favorite phase? And then when you were a candidate, what was your favorite phase or least hated phase?
Yeah. Well, phase one is easily the most hated phase. That one was difficult because when you go there as an individual that usually as an individual that joins the military, they're in the military for a few years and then they join OCS. So you've gone through basic training, you've kind of experienced all that, you have a little bit more life experience, and then you go to phase one and like all of that is just kind of stripped away from you. So you're treated just like everyone else. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or anything like that. So phase one was quite daunting because it seemed, again, it was physically and mentally challenging. It seemed like it was it was difficult to get your head wrapped around, you know, getting in trouble for everybody else, just like at basic training. You get in trouble for something that everyone, or for everything that everyone else does. So that was difficult. So phase one, didn't appreciate that, but definitely, again, I understand how crucial it is to really push yourself and to really learn about yourself in those types of stressful situations. Phase three, absolute favorite. I loved phase three. I loved going out in the field and just running those squad missions all day, every day. So my phase three, I did it out in Washington, and we stayed out in the field, and it was great because we'd sleep out there, and then we'd get up the next morning, and you just run missions all day long, and then you go to bed and do it all over the next day. So that was the best. Phase three was the best. It was a lot of fun.
Then what would you say is the goal of OCS? Like, what type of leader are you trying to produce from that program?
Yeah, the type of leader that we are trying to produce. So we really focus on all of the key leadership characteristics. We don't want to produce a specific type of leader. And this is actually something that I just had a conversation with one of my candidates about. He was trying to explain to me that he's a type B personality. And I would say that a lot of officers are usually those type A personality type of leaders. So this is something that he was talking to me about because he felt like he just didn't quite fit in. He didn't logically think through or work through problems similar to how he has seen other officers work through them. And what I told him is, you know, we're not trying to produce one specific type of individual. We're trying to produce every type of individual, because the more diverse group of leaders that we're going to have, you know, the better input we're going to get from each of them to produce a product. So this individual trying to explain to me, you know, he's a type B personality. Well, typically a type B personality is going to be more empathetic to an individual than a type A personality, or a type A is going to sit and get caught up in the details of a problem versus, you know, thinking past the problem, typically. Where the type B personality will typically move past the problem and they'll start looking more towards the future. So we need all of those different types of leaders within the organization. It's only going to make us, collectively, it's only going to make us better. So what type of leader are we really focused on? Well, we're focused on focused on the Army values, but we also don't want to stifle their capacity, whether they're whatever type of learner they are, whatever type of individual they are, personality they are.
So you kind of just hit on this too, what my next question was going to be, because, you know, don't want to really have an ideal candidate because it takes all kinds, but are there any specific qualities that you see as kind of universal for someone to have for a mindset when they go through OCS?
Yeah, so some of the qualities of individuals as they're going through OCS, really, you know, you got to be driven. You really got to be driven, because when you're put in those leadership positions in OCS, like, those months are are definitely more challenging because there's more requirements placed upon you because you're in a leadership role. So you really got to be, you know, focused, driven. You really got to have that reason why. Why are you there? What is the reason that you are going through this program? If the reason you're going through the program is simply because you want to make more money, you want, you feel like the officers you saw had it easier on a drill weekend, whatever it was, you know, those are definitely not reasons to go through the program, and you're not going to get as much from the program and probably not going to be as strong of a leader or candidate. So really the ideal candidate is one that's going to show up and be a little more open to learning, a little more open to maybe reflecting, hopefully open to doing a little bit of research too, to maybe understand the importance of those leadership traits.
And then you hit on this a little bit as well, but is there really anything that surprises new candidates when they begin OCS? I know you said it's one of those things, like it's almost like going back to basic training, but is there any just initial shock for the new candidates when they start the program?
Yeah, I would say I actually kind of touched on this in terms of, you know, we get the entire gamut of individuals, We get ones that are brand new to the military. We get ones that have maybe been in the military for 5-10 years. So the initial shock is usually for the individuals that have been in the military, kind of going back to that basic training type of mindset where you have a schedule that's kind of dictated to you, and this is when you wake up, this is what you'll do, and this is when you go to bed. Someone that's gone through basic training, they're like, well, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. Well, now, if you elect to go through OCS, you're going to experience that, you know, kind of, that's typically just in phase one where you more so experience that. But again, you know, we want those individuals that can hopefully go through that stressful situation and hopefully learn something about themselves and hopefully grow from that.
And then we talked about this a little bit as well, of OCS is known as being demanding. Nobody's talk about like, oh, OCS, you can just show up and walk through it, you'll be fine. It's usually you get a heavy sigh of like, whew, yeah, okay, we can talk about this, but just prepare yourself. So what are some of those physical and mental challenges though that candidates face when they go through that program? I know we talked about it being demanding, but what is it on the physical side and the mental side that really makes candidates think about what they're doing?
Okay, so on the physical side, we do several foot marches. So we do a 6-mile foot march, we do a 9-mile, and we do a 12-mile foot march. So physically, like, those are quite demanding. We also do a 4-mile graduation run, so we do a 4-mile run in there. But in phase one, like, you're doing PT every single day, and then you might go sit in a classroom to learn about land nav, or you might go out on the land nav course and you might be searching for points all day long. So you are going up and down the hills, you know, potentially doing PT in the morning and then going up and down the hills all day long. So it's very physically demanding. When you get to the traditional phase two here in North Dakota, so that we still do PT, but throughout those drill weekends, that's when we do our 9-mile ruck, or our 9-mile foot march, our 12-mile foot march. We do our AFT, we do our 4-mile run, so that, you know, almost every single weekend, there's something that's very physically demanding. And then we also do PT on top of that. As far as the mental aspect of it, as I mentioned, phase one, we focus a lot on land nav as far as the mental piece goes. Phase two is kind of where you'll go through all of that physically demanding challenges, but also that's where we do a lot of classroom work as well. So we'll do several tests throughout phase two, where individuals, you know, they'll go through material for a drill weekend and then maybe show up the next weekend and have to, next drill weekend, and have to test on it. So not only are we trying to, you know, sharpen your body, we're also trying to sharpen your mind continuously every drill weekend.
And then how should candidates prepare for that? So we're talking about physical, mental, and then academic. What's the best way for someone, you know, you're talking about the prep phase before they even show up to OCS, to prepare themselves for all those tasks?
Yeah, well, physically, I mean, there's always stuff you can do physically, whether you're staying in shape, whether you're working out, whatever it is. Because again, you know, going 12 miles, that's about 3.5 hours of walking with 30 pounds on your back. So physically, you know, just showing up in shape, continuously working on that, staying in shape as well. The mental piece, you know, so that's something that we kind of assess to see whether you might be a good applicant to go through the accelerated program or whether maybe the traditional program is better for you. So individuals, you know, not necessarily being able to retain information from one day to the next. Because if you go through the accelerated program, that's what's going to happen. You're going to learn about it, and then you're going to test about it the next day. It's going to be like right away. Where the traditional program, maybe that's a better program for individuals that don't retain information that as quickly. So the traditional program typically will go through material one drill weekend and then test on it the next weekend. So you have an entire month to maybe learn that or go through that, understand it a little bit better. So what can you do, you know, to prepare yourself academically? I guess it's probably just understanding how you learn best. For myself, what worked best for me was honestly going through that traditional program. I wanted to be able to study material in between drills and be able to test on it then at the next drill.
So having been through the program yourself and then coming back as the company commander, is there any particular moments that stand out as pretty memorable for yourself, or seeing it from the other side of going through the tough times of OCS and then realizing, oh, and now witnessing it from the other side?
So this last year, I volunteered to go down and be a platoon trainer for Phase 1. Phase 1 was something that I definitely pushed from my memory. I honestly forgot. Going down there and being a platoon trainer for Phase 1 gave me the appreciation all over again for what these individuals go through to become officers. My Phase 1 was out in Pennsylvania, and I just remember always being tired. And it was, after it was done, it was just something that I kind of pushed from my memory, because it was a very physically challenging 2 weeks. Now being on the other side and being a platoon trainer, seeing them go through Phase 1, it gives you so much more, not just admiration, but respect for those individuals that kind of push themselves to that next level and go through accept the challenge of going through the program to become officers.
And then we talk about leadership skills and multiple different leadership styles, but how does OCS help develop someone's leadership style or skills, or put them in those roles where they can actually find out what type of leader they are or want to be?
Yeah, that's one of the enjoyable parts of OCS, is that because it can be mentally exhausting, a person's mental capacity starts to break down, and they start to learn more about themselves and how they respond in certain types of situations. And it allows us to kind of take a look at them and help give them guidance, or give them, maybe it's even just an assignment. Maybe I see that you're just to use a specific example, maybe your mental agility, you don't have as strong a capacity for your mental agility. Well, maybe it's just an assignment going and reading about mental agility, and providing examples or a discussion or a class or whatever it is on mental agility. So working with the individuals to kind of maybe understand that, but then also being able to provide, the platoon trainers, being able to provide some input, feedback, or reflection, or assessment on that, on those key characteristics of whether it's the Army values or whether it's just leadership characteristics directly out of the ADP.
And then if we were to transition and start looking at potential candidates for the OCS program. So we talk about, you want to train them to be future leaders. There's different leadership styles you can do. But just to get into the program, what are really some of those basic requirements looking for someone for them to be accepted into the OCS program?
Yeah, a couple of the key requirements. So one of the things that you can always talk to the Officer Strength Manager in North Dakota, right now that's Second Lieutenant Matthew Wolf. You can talk to the Officer Strength Manager about it, about some of the specific requirements, but some of the very basic requirements are going to be a 110 GT score on your ASVAB, and then an individual needs to have at least 90 college credits before they leave for Phase 1. So individuals that are in college, once they complete those 90 credits, they can leave for Phase 1. So I have, this last class, we had folks that started that didn't have the 90 credits yet, but they were able to obtain those before we shipped them off to Phase 1. So really, those are the two basic key requirements. There are still other basic requirements that people maybe need waivers for, whether it's a Chapter 2 physical or whether it's something from their background that we need to get a waiver for. So there's other things that may be disqualifiers, but that's what the Officer Strength Manager is there for. He's supposed to help those individuals hopefully obtain waivers for whatever is maybe out there from their past.
But the two big ones are that GT score and getting those 90 credits before you go to Phase 1. Perfect. And then let's say you complete OCS. What are some of the career paths available for someone when they become an officer, and why they should look into OCS for that reason?
In North Dakota, there's really there's usually two kind of distinctive types of paths or careers that individuals can follow when they become officers. So one is more of a staff-driven path, and one is more of an operational command track. So as I've mentioned, we need all types of officers. The ones that are on that staff path are typically going to be like your military intelligence. Those folks, those individuals normally don't get platoon leadership, command leadership. So it's going to be like your military intelligence, AG signal, some signal. So certain branches are going to end up more on a staff track where they are typically in those roles where they support the commander with their specific knowledge in that career set. The other path that I alluded to or mentioned was the operational track. So those individuals, sometimes what happens with those individuals is they'll end up in platoon leadership, they'll end up as executive officers, commanders. So that's more of your leadership, that like those folks are going to end up out in front of the platoon, talking more, leading more, potentially planning specific missions, operations, whatever it is. But that track, those individuals, typically that is, as I mentioned, your platoon leader, your executive officer, your commander, battalion commands, S3, XO, battalion XO, that's going to be more of your command track.
So really there's a lot of options.
A lot of options.
And then if you're going to give advice to someone out there, what's the most important factor for someone's success in OCS?
For someone's success in OCS, I would say the biggest piece of advice is to really, when you are, you know, mentally exhausted, to at that point, it's difficult, but at that point to really reflect on how you are responding and how you respond to the situation that you're in. Because I feel that when a person is kind of broken down to that point, that's when they're going to start to learn maybe the characteristics that, you know, maybe it's the characteristics that you're, that aren't so good about a person. So those are things that I need to improve upon. Or it's maybe I just need to learn skills on how to respond in those types of situations. Just get ready to accept that challenge. And it is going to be one of the most rewarding experiences you will have.
So let's say we did have someone that was on the fence about applying to OCS. What would you want to say to someone? If, say, someone's been in a couple years and they're debating it, they're almost finishing their degree, or they're, you know, almost at that 90 credit mark, and somebody said, hey, you should look at OCS, but they're like, ah, I don't know if it's for me, and they're not really sure. What would you say to someone like that?
Yeah, someone that is in that type of situation, I would probably just tell them, you know, going through OCS, becoming a leader in the organization, truly is one of the most honorable experiences that a person can go through. I typically will liken being in a leadership position just to having children. When you have children, you want the best for your kids. You want them to go through learning experiences. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to discipline them. Well, when you become a leader, it's that same type of feeling, because you truly, you know, you look at your soldiers as almost being like your children. Like, it really makes a person feel good about themselves when their children are successful, or when their children go through learning experiences. It's this exact same type of feeling when you're working with your soldiers, when you create just a dynamic annual training, or when you create dynamic training and your soldiers are going through that and they're learning and they're having fun and, you know, they're running all over the place, just having some sort of whatever, it's a field leadership exercise of some sort, whatever it is, you know, that gives you that same type of feeling that you are a part of something much bigger, helping out those folks.
And I feel like you just answered my next question of, you know, how is being a cadre member and the commander of OCS, how has that impacted you, and like, have you seen growth?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I did not want to do. I had no interest going back to OCS. When I went through OCS, it was a difficult experience. Each person has their own experience, and the program has evolved a lot over the years. It used to be a program that was designed to weed people out, but you know that mentality has shifted a little bit. It's not a program designed to weed people out anymore. It's a program, you know, that's focused more on the key leadership characteristics, the key leadership traits. So originally I did not want to go back to the program because of that, but now that I'm back in that atmosphere, I've been an educator. I was a teacher for 15 years, and that's something that, you know, I have, I hold in high regard, because you have such a dramatic impact on the people that you work with. And this, you know, going into this position, I went into it with that type of mentality, and it has become one of the most rewarding positions, because you have such a huge impact on these individuals that you work with, but then also knowing that they're going to go out there and they're going to have a huge impact on the folks that they come in contact with. So being a part of this program now on the other side as a platoon trainer has been just immensely rewarding. And it helps that the staff up at OCS is just phenomenal. They take their positions very serious, and they are just an incredible group of people to mentor, to train, to help all of these candidates.
So before we wrap things up here, is there really any last words or advice or, you know, parting wisdom you'd want to give to potential future candidates or someone looking at the OCS program that might want to do it? What sort of advice would you just want to give them?
Sure. So, I mean, just basic stuff throughout life. The easiest thing you can do is to give up. That's really the easiest thing you can do. Granted, it doesn't feel good. It seems like that's actually a difficult thing to do, but really you can just walk in and you can just choose not to do it, or you can choose to just give up. So to really push yourself, to learn something about yourself, to become a better person, you know, that's where an individual starts to expand. That's where they start to grow. That's where they start to hopefully retain some of those skills, characteristics of who they are, who they want to become in life. So any parting words of wisdom? I guess not really. It's just something where an individual, you know, has to kind of accept, you know, if they are ready to, you know, make that next step. Are they ready to hopefully embrace that experience and learn something about themselves.
Thank you so much for joining us today, sir. Everyone listening, that was Major Chad Worrell, who is the company commander for Officer Candidate School here in North Dakota. Thank you again for joining us today, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening today for another episode of our podcast, and look forward to having you on the next one.